Well, good afternoon, all of you. Good to be here with you today on the Sabbath day. Also want to welcome those on the internet. We hope you stay tuned today. Well, as we all know, Passover is just around the corner, just 3 days away, something like that. So today I want to give you a message about the Passover. And what I would like to do is discuss a little bit with you the Old Testament Passover, because in many ways, the Old Testament Passover foreshadows the new. Some of the symbols are the same, some of them are different. However, they all point to in the same direction pretty much. I don't know how the Israelites how well they understood what they were doing. I doubt that they understood that they were setting a pattern for us today. I don't really think they understood that completely. But it was good that they did, because the Apostle Paul said all these things happened for examples. So let's turn back to Exodus 12, and for sake of time, I'm going to start in verse 3, not because the other part of it isn't important, but I have a short message. Exodus 12, verse 3 says, this is Moses, this is God speaking to Moses, Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of the month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. In other words, the lamb was for all those in that household. Now, very likely it could be others, but mainly those of a certain household. Because the next verse says, and if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. And so the lamb was supposed to be carefully selected so that it would feed all of those that were going to partake of the Passover. And there was a reason for that, is because what was left over had to be destroyed, had to be burned. So they didn't want much left over at all, and none if possible. Verse 5 says, your lamb shall be without blemish. And that's no surprise to us, because we know the lamb prefigures Jesus himself, and Jesus was without blemish. He was without sin. He was the only human being that ever lived without sin. So he was definitely without blemish. Then it says, a male of the first year, you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Verse 6, now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And the word twilight should actually be translated between the evenings, but we're not going to discuss that today. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts on the lintel of the house where they eat it. And I'll have some more comments about those verses later. So it's interesting to note that many of the elements there are related or exact according to the New Testament Passover. That's why it's good for us to go back to look at it and read it again and read it often, especially this time of year. So the first element I would like to highlight is that in the Old Testament, the Passover is a family affair. It says it shall be eaten in the house of the family. And apparently extended family members could be there, but it was a family affair. And I wanted to read verse 3 again. Speak to all the congregation, on the 10th of the month every man shall take for himself according to the house of his father a lamb for a household. So it was a family affair, and back then they had extended families, and very likely it could be more than one family in one house. But as I'm going to show you later, it's important that everyone in that household eats the Passover. And I'll explain that later. So only those living in that household or directly related could be in that household and could eat the Passover. And in some ways, that's the same today. You know, we're going to take the Passover in a few days, and we don't go out on the highways and byways that come, keep the Passover with us. We don't say that. We don't do that because we're not supposed to do that, because the Passover really is a family affair. And the Church of God, all of us, are a family. We're a family of God. And so we take it as a family, and taking it together draws us closer together, and that's a good thing. The next element that I would like to highlight is the old Passover. In the old covenant Passover, only some were protected from sure death. Only some. Only those within the household that had the blood spread upon the lintel in the doorpost. So it was a privilege. It really was a privilege for the Israelites to know that they could be spared certain death by being within that house, eating the Passover, obeying God's laws, and they could be protected. And and actually, we are being protected ourselves today by obeying God's commandments and laws, keeping His covenant, and keeping His high days as they should be kept. The third element I like to bring out is the Old Testament Passover. Obedience was required. You had to obey what God said. And today we follow the same, we do the same thing. We obey God the way we know how. For example, we go through the Passover ceremony and we do it a certain way. And we do it a certain way because looking at all of the scriptures, that's the way it occurred during the time of Jesus. So we do it that way. So there is obedience today, just as there was obedience back then. The next thing I want to highlight is that it was the blood on the lintel that was a sign that saved them. That was a sign that saved them. Of course, you and I have a sign today. We have God's Holy Spirit, and that is a sign. And that sign will save us too. Consider, what saved them back then? It was the blood of the Lamb, wasn't it? Certainly it was. I mean, if you were not within that household, you were not going to be spared. So they were saved by the blood of the Lamb, and so are we. We are saved by the blood of the Lamb, even today. And if they did not obey, what was their punishment? If they were a firstborn, they were going to die. That's it, plain and simple. If they were a firstborn, they would die. Notice verse 70 and 12:7 of Exodus. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two lampposts on the lintel of the house where they ate it, where they eat it, where they eat it. So you couldn't, they couldn't take the blood from their lamb and go next door and, you know, that wouldn't work. That would not be obeying the rules. It says, you put it on the lintel where of the houses where you eat it. And so there was another stipulation that they had to follow to be saved from certain death. So I think I'm ready to conclude. I don't want to go long because I know most of you read all of those verses many times before. But I would like to read what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. He wrote this, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And you can, we can see by going through that, that that's certainly true. It's very valuable for us to go through that again. So to kind of summarize, here are the elements that we see. They were freed from death by the blood of the Lamb, so are we. They came out of, didn't have time to go through all the verses that say this, but I'm sure you've read it before. They came out of Egypt, and that's a type of sin, and that's what we do. They were baptized in the Red Sea. That's what Paul wrote in Corinthians. They were baptized in the Red Sea, although they didn't get a bit of water on them, but they were still baptized because Paul said they were. Then they received the Ten Commandments later at Sinai, and that gave them a tool so they could obey God. Now, it's too bad that they didn't really use that tool like they should have, but still there was a tool, and we have a tool also, and that's called the Holy Spirit. So I think that short message will get us ready to enjoy the Passover in about 3 days, and I hope to see all of you there.